Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm Peter Tugwell, a practicing clinician, and I hold the Canada Research Chair in Health Equity. This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health Guidelines.
Mariam, a 33-year-old Moroccan patient who was heavily pregnant, had shown up with concerns for the health of her child after taking a fall on an icy sidewalk. But Dr. Grant could tell, from the shapes of the bruises over her body, that it was not likely that they were caused by an accidental fall. Dr. Grant listened carefully and spoke gently, trying to show Mariam that she could trust him. Then, carefully, he mentioned that he didn't think the bruises were a result of a fall. Mariam broke down and confessed that her husband had become violent ever since having his hours cut back at work, and that it had gotten so bad she wanted to end the relationship. But she had a baby on the way, and her husband had sponsored her to come to Canada. Mariam did not know what to do.
Dr. Haida Hassan is the first author of the Evidence Review on Intimate Partner Violence of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health. Hello, Dr. Hassan.
Hello.
Dr. Hassan, why we should not screen routinely for intimate partner violence or IPV?
For several reasons. The first one is that Canadian surveys show that recently settled immigrant and refugee women are not at higher risk for intimate partner violence as compared to general population women or to immigrant women who have been settled for longer periods. The second reason is that studies have shown that screening is not associated to a better outcome. This means that women who have been screened for intimate partner violence, as compared to women who have not been screened, do not show a reduction of intimate partner violence victimization or a reduction in negative symptoms such as depression or improvement in quality of life. And the third and very important reasons is that several harms have been associated with screening, particularly for immigrant and refugee women. So you have general harms such as, concerns about privacy, breaches of confidentiality, but those specific harms for immigrant and refugee women include fear of being deported, losing their sponsorship agreement. Of course, fear or actual increase of retaliation, in terms of intimate partner violence, and all the fear of involvement with legal and also youth protection services, because intimate partner violence is a form of child maltreatment, that may make these women very wary of receiving health services and consequently reduces their access to care, and this is a significant harm for recently settled immigrant and refugee women.
So then what a physician should do if he thinks that a woman is under intimate partner violence, should do nothing?
Oh no, of course the physician should assess. Now let me clarify the difference here between screening and assessing. Screening means that the physician is asking the patient in front of him whether she has been victim of intimate partner violence while she does not present any symptom. If the physician has the least doubt, any doubt or intuition, no matter how minimal it is, that the woman, his or her patient is victim of intimate partner violence, then they should, of course, further assess for the presence of intimate partner violence. And to do that, they can use the tools that have proven to be very short. Some are simply 4 questions short, and they are efficient in detecting intimate partner violence. And this is where the quality of the trust relationship between the physician and the patient comes into place. And I will add one last thing. Whenever intimate partner violence is detected, or disclosed, then the physician should immediately work on planning a safety plan for the patient.
Dr. Hassan, thank you so much for your time.
You're most welcome.
There are 3 key points to remember regarding intimate partner violence. Number 1, recently settled immigrant women appear to have lower odds of intimate partner violence than longer-term immigrants and Canadian-born women. Number 2, linguistic barriers, financial dependency, lack of knowledge of laws and health services, fear of losing custody of children, and threats to immigration status of sponsorship agreements due to police involvement or criminal proceedings may constitute significant barriers to disclosure and adherence to interventions among immigrant and refugee women. Number 3, practitioners should refer women to have spent at least one night in a shelter to a structured program of patient-centered advocacy support services to decrease rates of abuse. This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health, produced in cooperation with the Canadian Medical Association Journal and the Cochrane Equity Methods Group.